A computer glitch at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game leads to disappointment for hunters across the state. And the Southeast Farmers Summit aims to grow local agriculture in import-dependent Alaska. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. More than 100 people around the state were disappointed recently when they found out emails telling them they received hunting permits were incorrect. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says an unusual computer glitch triggered false results throughout the state for moose, caribou, and musk ox hunts.
Big deal, you know. It's not just a, oh, I got a moose tag, you know, that's great. It's kind of like a, you know, it's a responsibility to go out there and get a legal moose.
Haines resident Michael Hoy is one of about 30 people in the Upper Lynn Canal, Hunting Unit 1D, who thought they'd gotten a permit to hunt moose when the results were announced earlier this month. Then, about a week later, he heard otherwise.
Just wish, you know, they didn't get our hopes up for this kind of thing, you know, because it is a big deal for such a small valley and the population of people that live here.
A data processing error at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game led to the incorrect reporting of results. Across the state, 148 people were told they had received a permit for their Tier 2 hunt, to later find out they'd not. Bruce Dale is the director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation at Fish and Game.
We really regret it, and we're not sure how it happened, but we're going to work as hard as we can to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Dale says the software that's supposed to correct typos in permit applications inadvertently changed the scores that determine whether an applicant receives a permit. He says an error like this is uncommon. According to Fish and Game Information Officer Ken Marsh, moose, caribou, and musk ox hunts were impacted across the state. Those hunts are limited to a certain number of permits.
These Tier 2 hunts are for situations where there's not enough of the resource to go around to meet subsistence needs. And in those cases, all the other uses are eliminated. And then amongst the subsistence uses, people are ranked relative to their reliance on the resource.
That is determined by a few different factors. The number of years an applicant and any one member of the household has hunted or eaten meat from the game population, and the number of days spent hunting or fishing during the last regulatory year in each hunt area. They also take into account the cost of food in the community where you live and the cost of fuel. Dale says by regulation, the department has to give out permits to those who score the highest.
So that resulted in a situation where, because they're the most reliant on the resource, we had to give it to those people. And there weren't any extra moose, so we couldn't do anything to accommodate the people who were wrongly told they got a permit.
The error not only got people's hopes up to then disappoint them, it also meant people who did qualify were told they didn't. Dale says nearly 150 people were first told they didn't get a permit, only to find out later that they did. Haines resident Hoy says he didn't actually expect to get a moose tag, but he was pleasantly surprised when he received that first email saying that he could participate.
Most of us have families that depend on, you know, the participation and, you know, going out and getting a moose and, you know, living off the meat, you know, for a while. And me having quite a big family now, because I just got married, I have some elders that would have liked to have some moose in their freezer this next coming winter.
According to Marsh, there is an appeals process for people who think they do deserve a permit. More than 80 people, from commercial farmers to backyard gardeners, gathered in Haines over the weekend. The Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit brought together residents from around the region who have a common interest: increasing local agriculture in a state that is heavily reliant on imported food. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Well, for one, everyone eats food.
Leah Heifetz is with the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition and Sustainable Southeast Partnership, two organizations that helped organize this conference.
Living in a isolated environment, we're really dependent on resources that are brought into our communities. And there's a long history of communities and people wanting to be more self-sustaining and resilient.
A 2014 report from Crossroads Resources notes that 95% of the food Alaskans purchase is imported by barge, truck, or air. Chipping away at Alaska's independence on outside food is one of the main goals of the Farmers Summit. It began a couple years ago when two farmers decided to get a group of commercial growers together to share ideas. Bo Varsano and Maria Smets run Farragut Farm north of Petersburg. Here's Smets.
We're in like the baby stages of the local food movement here. And it's really important that because it's so early on, we all share as much information as we can to help push each other along and get to that next level. So I guess I hope an event like this shows people that there's other people out there who are trying to do the same thing that they're doing, and that you can share in each other's successes and failures and challenges, and we can all work together to increase local food.
Farming in Southeast Alaska isn't easy. There are lots of challenges, including access to land, isolation, and of course, weather.
It's really exciting to finally be able to grow things like tomatillos and winter squash. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes and peppers and the salsa crops. I still think I'm dreaming sometimes.
Yeah. Haynes resident Lori Mestrella was one of several farmers on a panel about one tool that makes farming in the region a little easier, high tunnels. The covered structures protect plants from harsh weather and extend the growing season, making it possible to raise veggies like tomatoes in abundance. A U.S. Department of Agriculture program helps Alaska growers pay for high tunnels. Samia Savelle, who works for the program, says there are 37 completed high tunnels in Southeast. Several Southeast organizations are working on an online marketplace for farmers to sell their products to more people. Colin Peacock from the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition explained that pilot programs in Juneau and Haynes are starting this summer.
You guys, we're just kind of a marketplace that allows other people to buy from you. They're still buying, you know, your carrots branded with your name and from you and your growing practices. We are not buying anything. It's just kind of a pass-through, essentially, that's facilitating sales and connection.
Peacock says they hope to eventually make it a region-wide online marketplace where, for example, a customer in Ketchikan could order produce from a farmer in Gustavus. But there are significant logistical challenges to work out. So for this year, the Haynes and Juneau marketplaces will only serve local customers. Meredith Pokart is with the Tokchinik Watershed Council, which is leading the initiative in Haynes.
The more food that we can produce locally, the more money stays in our communities. It's healthier for the environment and for the people.
The Farmers Summit was also about one-on-one conversations between farmers who face similar challenges but live in isolated communities. Bobby Daniels from Sitka's Sawmill Farms gave a presentation about the roller coaster ride her business has gone through. She told the crowd she wants to help other Southeast food entrepreneurs avoid the steep learning curve she encountered. Organizers hope this conference and future farmer summits will do exactly that. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.
Some Alaskans have another chance to sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. A special enrollment period is being offered to those who were in a plan from Moda Health last year. That company has since dropped out of the program, though it provides other coverage in the state. John Zasada of the Alaska Primary Care Association says some Moda customers didn't know they could sign up for a plan from Primera, the state's only ACA provider.
If they were effectively covered at the end of the year and lost their insurance due to the fact that Moda was no longer in the market, they are eligible for a special enrollment period through March 1st of 2017 for the 2017 coverage year.
Details are available through the website getcoveredalaska.org. Enrollment for most other Alaskans had to be completed by the end of January, but those with significant life events, such as marriage or having a child, are allowed to sign up at other times. The Trump administration and Congress have vowed to repeal or significantly change the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. But Zasada says those enrolled will likely have coverage through the end of this year. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.